This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the final show before the 2024 WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien. Ahead, we have a full show and we'll look at some of the potential playoff scenarios off the top. Both conferences have some intriguing races for playoff seeding, and so far just one of the eight first-round matchups is set. We have an interesting story involving the trainer for the Edmonton Oil Kings this past week. We'll explain. Prince George Cougars rookie Tarek Parasak is coming off a big week as he reached the 100-point plateau. He's also the Tempo WHL Player of the Week, and he'll be our guest. And former Victoria Royals goaltender Griffin Outhouse is a national youth sports champion with the University of New Brunswick. He'll tell us about the season and how he's taking advantage of the WHL scholarship program. First up, the WHL's final weekend of the regular season is underway, and still so much to play for in both conferences heading into the 2024 WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien. Only one playoff series in the first round is locked in to begin the weekend. The Medicine Hat Tigers will play the Red Deer Rebels in a first-round best-of-seven set beginning next Friday in Medicine Hat. It'll be the 4-versus-5 bracket. There's also some potential matchups brewing in the Eastern Conference, like the Prince Albert Raiders potentially meeting the East Division champion Saskatoon Blades. The Swift Current Broncos have captured the Central Division title and will be the number 2 seed in the opening round. They could see a first-round series with Brandon, Lethbridge, and potentially Prince Albert. Meanwhile, the Moose Jaw Warriors will be the 3rd seed in the opening round. They'll have to wait it out and see who their opponent will be. While in the Western Conference, there is a battle for the number 1 seed that might have to be settled by an elaborate tiebreaker if Prince George and Portland win out their remaining games. Beginning the weekend, Portland trails Prince George by 2 points but holds a game in hand. As well, the top 3 seeds, including those 2 teams in Everett, have been in a massive roll. Combined, those teams have picked up at least a point now in 35 consecutive games. The top seed will be guaranteed home ice advantage in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. And there's a battle in the middle of the Western Conference for playoff positioning. Wenatchee, Vancouver, Kelowna, and Victoria occupy the 4th through 7th spots, all within 3 points of each other. And you can watch all games this weekend on CHL TV. Edmonton Oil Kings equipment manager Rogan Dean received an NHL assist over this past weekend. Caden Gooley of the Montreal Canadiens ran out of his preferred stick on the Western Conference road trip, so he tapped his old equipment manager with the Oil Kings, where he played in 2022, helping Edmonton win a league title. In conversation with the WHL's Cammy Koepke this week, Rogan identified just what stick Gooley was after, hoping he had one in storage as the Canadians came in to play the Oilers in Edmonton.
It was a Bauer Hyperlite P29 Curve 95 Flex.
Now, Gooley used that stick that night in his former junior city, and
here's a lead pass. Caden Gooley's in, shoots and scores, and this game is tied, and that's a 4-on-4 goal with the Canadians' power play still to come. Caden Gooley in his hometown.
And Rogan received a little attention for coming through in the clutch.
Bit of an overreaction. I guess it's a cool story to the fans and stuff, but behind the scenes, I think it's just, you know, any equipment manager or trainer at any level would do the exact same thing for any player or former player. So, like, I guess I'm grateful for everything that's being said about me, but at the same time, I'm not a big fan of the media or the spotlight.
Gooley is now in his 2nd season in the NHL. He's appeared in 110 games, collecting 34 points. He started his junior career with the Prince Albert Raiders back in the 2017-2018 season.
You're listening to the WHL This Week radio edition.
Tarek Parasak has been doused with accolades all season from the WHL. The 17-year-old NHL draft-eligible forward recently passed the 100-point milestone and in the process was named the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. Cole Waldie has more.
Tarek Parasak, he's the WHL Player of the Week. And Perry, you've won the Rookie of the Week, I think, five different times. But to get the Player of the Week, maybe just take me through an impressive week, not just for yourself, but for your group, collecting four wins and eight out of a possible 8 points on the road.
Yeah, it was a really good road trip for our group. I think everybody was kind of, yeah, we were feeling it throughout the whole road trip. Everyone was playing well, and kind of I had myself a good weekend. And, yeah, so I was happy to get the 8 points and get that recognition.
And for yourself, third player on this team, sixth in history to reach the 100-point plateau. Maybe just take me through that. It's obviously an incredible accolade, and to accomplish that with still games to go, I'm assuming it must be pretty excited.
Yeah, it's super cool. I kind of joined guys like Heider and Funker there with the 100 points, and obviously that kind of goes to show how well our team's done throughout the year, having three guys at that point. So, yeah, it was very exciting for me to kind of reach that point.
Expectations-wise, when you came in here, I know we've talked about this before, but what were your expectations coming into your rookie year? Obviously, 100 points is a crazy one, but I guess, again, coming into this 23-24 season, what was, I guess, kind of on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to not really have much expectations for myself, especially coming in as a rookie season. You don't really know too much what to expect, and just my goal is just try to, whatever role I was given, just kind of make the most of that opportunity. And fortunate enough, I got a significant role with the group, and I've kind of just tried to make the most of it so far.
This team's obviously been playing some great hockey. It's coming into the final two games now to determine where you sit in the Western Conference and who you could play in the first round. Maybe just take me through the weekend ahead for your group, and probably exciting to play some meaningful games here in these final two regular season games.
Yeah, we obviously know what's at stake here. Just it'd be huge to get home ice for the entire playoffs there. That'd be big for our group, and obviously we have the opportunity to do so. So try to take advantage of that opportunity and hope things work out for us.
And piggybacking off that comment, like, how important is it to, obviously you're going to do some scoreboard watching, but just to control what you can control, how important is it to kind of have that mindset here into this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we can't focus too much on it. Just kind of got to make sure we're playing our game and sticking to our structure, and things will happen for us. We have a good group, so if we play the right way, things will happen.
On the weekend, obviously, your group played some really good hockey. It's points in 17 straight games now. But in particular, Tarek, the road trip, it's never easy. Three games in three nights, 4-5. Just maybe take me through how impressive that, I guess, those four games were for your group.
Yeah, I mean, we've had our fair share of 3-3s throughout the year and 4-5. So we knew what to expect coming into the weekend. We just had to keep things simple, and we were able to roll four lines and 6D, and everyone got into the game, so it was nice to see that, and everybody kind of find their role in a night, so it was good.
Last one for me. The playoffs are right around the corner. Obviously very excited, I think, within the whole group. You're going to get some big names back, but just from your personal standpoint, Tarek, how excited are you to get the playoffs going, which is just over a week away?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited, kind of getting a little bit of a taste for it coming up last year and seeing that atmosphere, and obviously this year we expect to be a competitive team in playoffs, and we expect to win every night. So it's going to be super exciting times, and yeah, everybody's excited around here.
Sorry, I actually got one more. Your old school, Edge School, capturing the U18 championship once again. Maybe take me through that. How many guys you know on the team? Probably pretty cool to see them hoist another trophy.
Yeah, I think there's a couple returning guys from my team last year, so it was nice to see them be able to go back-to-back like that. And then I think lots of siblings from kind of my team we had there, lots of younger brothers. So it was super cool to see that for those guys. And, yeah, it's awesome for the school.
From the drop of the puck to the Ed Chenault Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
A former four-year member of the Victoria Royals is a national youth sports champion with the University of New Brunswick Varsity Reds. They had a perfect season, culminating with the championship tournament where they went undefeated. Griffin Outhouse, former Royal for four seasons, is completing year four out east and joins us here for WHL This Week. First of all, Griffin, thanks for connecting with us on the show this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
What a year. What a year for the team. What a year for you personally. It culminated with a national title. I'm sure that's a really exciting time for you to be enjoying that.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, you can't really picture it to be any better. I was really happy to be on this team and be a part of what we were able to accomplish.
you know, I look at your numbers, and they're like video game numbers here. Like, you didn't lose in 14 starts in the regular season. You didn't lose in the playoffs. We're talking like 939 save percentage here. I know you're an experienced guy with a taste of pro here, but have you upped your game even a little bit more at that university level?
I think for sure that I have improved a ton here. You know, I've taken these past 4 years to try to develop and make my game better. It's been very easy to come
teams,
to the rink.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
He is and what he does for us and the energy that he brings, and we all feed off of that.
I don't know if he'll ever lose again, Gardner McDougal here, and he could be coaching Canada's under-18 team this summer. Just your thoughts on your coach, Gardner McDougal.
Yeah, he's terrific. He, like I said before, he brings a ton of energy to the room, and we all feed off of that. He is maybe the hardest worker I've ever seen in my entire life, the amount of hours that he spends at the rink, doing things so that we can all be better.
You know, it's not very typical for a WHLer to end up in the AUS conference, and in this case, New Brunswick. You're from around Williams Lake. You played your BC Major Midget in Prince George, and then you spent your time in the WHL in Victoria here. So what was the draw to head out east all the way to New Brunswick?
Just the talks that I had with the recruiter, Dylan Taylor, he's from PEI, but he recruits for UMB. Just had really good talks with them, and it seemed like it was going to be a place that I was really going to like. And also, they had been doing well for, you know, the past 10 years or so. So I wanted to go to a program that was doing well.
Speaking of doing well, you did that in Victoria from 2015 to 2019 on the island. You know, a relatively new franchise there, and you're one of the guys still celebrated by that organization. Let's talk about your time in Victoria with the Royals and that what that was like.
Yeah, that was awesome to be in Victoria. Had a ton of fun. Was able to do 4 years there and play lots of games. Didn't know exactly what the plan was heading into there, like from Prince George. I didn't sign until partway through the year of my, I guess it would have been my 16-year-old year in Prince George. And I don't really think there's plans for me to be there my 17-year-old year because I was somebody who was undrafted into the WHL, and they had somebody that was drafted into the NHL that was going to be backing up. And I went into there and just worked as hard as I could, and I had a good camp out of it and stuck around for preseason. And then the start of the season, they carried three goalies for a few games. And then the other guy ended up getting traded. So I was told that I had a spot on the team. It was super exciting to start off. We had a great team my first year. We had 106 points, I believe. And we won the WHL regular season, 50 wins. Had some heartbreaks and playoffs throughout the years. But that year was pretty special to hop in at a 17-year-old and be able to play with a good team. And that gave me a ton of confidence going forward, moving into my 18-year-old year, where I was able to get 60-plus starts for the next few years and just kind of rolled with it. And it was just such a great organization. They treated us so well. Victoria is a beautiful city. I still try to spend as much time there as I can in the summers, and was very lucky to have the billet mom that I did, Dale Piner. I was with her for 4 years, and you know, she's like a second mother to me, and I still text her all the time and try to see her as much as I can.
You mentioned living and playing in Victoria. For a lot of the WHL teams that come in, you know, they come in the ferry, you know, they stay at a downtown hotel, you can walk to the rink. It's just really like a great couple of days spent, for sure. But what's it like playing and living in that city on the island and just kind of day-to-day life?
Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, it was amazing. You know, the city is beautiful. There's lots of spots to, you know, go eat and grab a coffee. It's actually the brunch capital of Canada, and that worked out pretty well because I'm a pretty big brunch snob, so I always go around to different cafes, seeing which eggs Benny specialties they had and stuff. So I actually really enjoyed that part, and being near, you know, on the ocean is awesome. There's lots of spots to go sightseeing, and with hockey, like, teams would come in, and it was nice because we would always be constantly playing, you know, back-to-back Friday, Saturdays against the same team. So it's kind of neat when you get that many opportunities to do that against the same team. They'd come in, I think, on the Thursday and be taken off on the Sunday morning. And then for us, depends on how much you like to travel. You have to travel a bit, but I like that we always got to do traveling the day before we played. So we would I think the only time that we ever traveled on a game day was when we were playing Vancouver, just getting across the ferry. But we had a really good bus too, so that helped. Sleeper bed or sleeper bus with 30 beds on it. And so the traveling wasn't too bad. It was actually a good time for the guys to hang out with each other. Everything, all the beds fold into couches and tables and stuff. So we're just constantly playing cards when we're on the road. So it was fun when you were at home or when you were on the road. And then just like during the days, we'd have practice around. It changed throughout the years, but kind of, I think it settled on being 10 o'clock practice. So we're all at the rink right around 8:15, 10 o'clock practice and working out. And then it was nice to have the back half of the day to just hang out with the guys, really do whatever you wanted to do at that time.
Yeah, sounds great. 26 years old now. You did take a shot at pro there, and you can do that and still, you know, fall under the WHL scholarship program here. And you spent some time even getting some AHL games in Manitoba. You're 26. Are you still chasing that pro hockey dream when you're done school?
Yeah, absolutely. That is what I want to do. I don't know who or where, but sounds like I will be able to at some point have an opportunity to get back into pro, and I'm hungry to play at the highest level possible. So, and that's what everybody here at UND does, is there's not really any guys that are just coming to go to school and then call it quits. Like, pretty much every single guy on this team is chasing their dream in pro hockey, and they're just, you know, using 4 years here to get their education while they're at it and just try to develop their game as much as possible.
WHL scholarship is something that you've used to go out to school in New Brunswick. How's the program worked out for you, Griffin?
Oh, it's been great. It's helped out a lot. It's different for each guy from the WHL. So the scholarship, I guess, coverage comes from your home province, and they choose a university to match that. So if you go somewhere that's, you know, less, you might get more coverage, or the opposite way around. So like coming to UND, it's just this standard scholarship. They don't do it by class, but it's for sure helped out to have that from the WHL.
Well, I want to congratulate you on a great run. This is now 4 years complete, 3 years with a hockey program and a national championship. Hopefully you can at some point put your feet up this summer and then continue your choice of a degree at UNB. And we appreciate you spending some time with us here on WHL this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, that's the show. Want to say thanks to our guests and a special thanks to Cole in Prince George for his help. Enjoy the final weekend of the WHL's regular season. We'll see you on the other side for the start of the 2024 WHL playoffs. I'm John Keane. Have a great weekend.